823 News Radio WJPF. Want to get right to it this morning. Quentin Folks is joining us this morning. He is the chairman for Vote Yes for Fairness. That is the progressive tax. And, of course, people have some other names to it. We'll get to that a little bit later on. When it comes to the fair tax, Quentin, it's good to have you on this morning. Sir, you've been well?
Yeah, I've been well. Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Tom.
You know, and I know you've been busy in a lot of different ways. And I'm kind of curious, as your position as chairman, what are the questions that people ask you that you think are valid, important, and need to be addressed? What do they talk to you about when they have questions?
They talk about what the baseline around this is. I think that there's a lot of messaging around this from my side. We're guilty of it, and the opponent side in terms of what this is. But voters really want to know, you know, the nitty-gritty details. And so when I interact with, you know, individual voters, they want to know questions about the rates. They want to know, you know, what this means as a baseline. We talk in broad scopes, right? But everybody knows kind of what they pay in taxes, what comes out of their check, and they know what that is every month, every week, or whenever they get paid. And so they really want to know kind of what those rates are. And we throw out a lot of statistics about the state of Illinois, but taxes are a personal issue. And so when I'm talking to voters, they really care about those, like, individual rates and, you know, child tax care credits and the property tax credits that are built into this, and I think that those are all fair questions and questions that revolve around this tax, and so they're important for voters to know.
All right, now here's the thing that I think, that I learned from you that I thought was important, that, all right, $250,000 or more. So the $250,000 isn't included in this proposal at the higher rate, only the money above $250,000. From our last conversation, that was probably my single biggest takeaway.
Yeah, and I think what you're referring to is marginal rates. So people have heard, you know, from a lot of people, anybody that's pushing this for or against, that only people making $250,000 will be asked to pay more. But the important thing is that the rates are marginal. So if you don't mind, Tom, I'll just read them off really quickly.
Please do.
From zero to $10,000 will be taxed at 4.75, which is a tax cut from the current 4.95 that everyone is taxed at right now. From $10,001 to $100,000 will be taxed at 4.9, which is the another tax cut from the 4.95. And then from $100,001 to $250,000, that money will be taxed at 4.95, which is the same as the current rate. So when we say at least 97% of Illinoisans will see a tax cut, that is because we know from tax data, the most recent tax data that we have available to the state of Illinois, that 97%, at least 97% of people in Illinois make less than $250,000. And then from $250,001 to $350,000 will be taxed at 7.75. Now, what you are getting at, Tom, is the fact that these rates are marginal. And so if somebody makes $260,000, on its face, it may sound like they're paying 7.75 on the entire $260,000, but they're not. They're only paying the 7.75 on the $10,000 that they make over the $250,000. So from $250,000 to $260,000, that $10,000 is being taxed at the 7.75. And so these rates are marginal for individuals in those tax brackets, which means, you know, if your income fluctuates like a farmer or something like that, if you make $40,000 one year, you're going to see that tax cut. And then if you make, you know, $260,000 in a year, you're going to see that tax cut on your first $100,000. And then also you're only going to be asked to pay that additional on that 7.75. So this is an incredibly safe way for businesses and organizations whose profits fluctuate, or even individuals for that matter.
All right. Here's the thing that I think many people are concerned about. What ensures that the integrity of the math that you've just shared with us and the principles that are just shared over 250 and then making the break, you know, if you make less than 250 to kind of help keep you on your feet at the same time, how can the integrity of what you just shared with us stay, you know, intact? You know what I mean? How can it not be changed by legislators? Because Illinois exactly doesn't have the greatest reputation for exercising self-control when it comes to taxes. You and I talked about this because as marketing person, right, you're out there marketing. Your goal is to get this message across. But unfortunately, the political past of Illinois hasn't shown a lot of restraint when it comes to taxes. So how do we ensure the integrity of this?
Well, look, I think it is, and I don't want to be, you know, bashful when I say this. I mean this with all due sincerity. Voters maintain that integrity, right? Because this doesn't give the legislature any additional power than they currently have right now. They can currently go into session and raise taxes on everyone right now. They already have that ability and that power. And so the fact is that if they went in and did that now, they would just be raising taxes on everyone across the board, no matter how much you make. All the fair tax laws are going to do is impose higher rates on higher income earners and lower rates on lower income earners. Now, to get to your question, because I don't want to be dismissive of it, political, like the threat of political will of voters is what will stop this from happening, right? If voters don't like it, they vote these individuals out. And that is the same sort of consideration that would go into any legislator's mind when they're voting on a tax increase under the flat tax. And so it is the same thing. And I know that the other side has tried to brand this as more power somehow to Springfield, but that's simply not true. The fact of the matter is that they already have the ability to raise your taxes and could do so at any point if they chose to. All we're doing with the fair tax is changing the type of system that we have from a flat tax system to a graduated tax system.
All right. Now, here's another thing that I find interesting. If, let's say, next Tuesday, voters in Illinois say yes, would this mean there would be a constitutional convention to be able to implement this?
No, I don't think that there would need to be a constitutional convention to implement it. I could be wrong, to be honest with you, and I haven't really, you know, we've just been focused on trying to get this passed and not really thinking, you know, about that next step. So that's been our focus, not looking beyond the goal line, which is election day for us. So you could be right, but I believe that what would happen is that this would just immediately go into effect with the rates that were passed, those rates that I discussed earlier.
Right.
And then there would also be, because fiscal years and calendar years are different. So calendar year, January from December, fiscal years are like March to March, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but they're different. And so this would go into effect immediately. And then we would also see a little bit of that, you know, annual $3.4 billion that should come in under the fair tax. We would see a small portion of that this year because we're kind of on the tail end of a fiscal year in the state of Illinois.
All right, here's an interesting question. Just came in the American Monument text line, and the question here says, what if I make $300,000 but I buy $100,000 in equipment? Does that lower my income?
So it is based on profit. I think it depends on a little bit about how you write some of the stuff off on your taxes in terms of your business. So whatever you file at the end of the day as profit and not going into, you know, ongoing business expenses is what would be taxed. So it depends on how you would file that and write that off for your equipment. So, for instance, I guess, you know, this sounds like it could be like a question for like a farmer or someone
right.
like that that's buying something like that. So it would depend on how you're writing that off for your business purposes.
Right. I get it. Yeah, because you want to buy a combine, it's $250,000, you know, you're a farmer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Every time you're on the air, I get this question. The $250,000 income line, is that based on gross income, net? Is that correct? That's the question here from one of our listeners.
Gross.
Okay, $250,000 gross. You know, when it comes to this issue, the fair, because you're a marketing guy, you campaign guy, you know the power of words. Do you think fair was the right word to be used when it came to this?
Yeah, we do think so. Because, I mean, if you look at it on its face, an individual that makes, you know, $1.5 billion a year to someone that makes, you know, $50,000 a year, 4.95%, which is the current flat rate that everyone is paying right now, it's not fair that they're paying the same rate. It's just simply not fair. And if you look at a number of the kind of the charts and the graphs, if you go to www.voteyesforfairness.com, we have, you know, graphs and everything you can imagine about this on our website. But if you look at it, everything is regressive. It's upside down. The higher bars are at the on the left for the lower earners, and the lower bars are on the right for the higher earners, which, you know, in Illinois, the lowest 20% pay around 14.4% of their income in income taxes and fees for their income for a family, while the top 1% pays roughly 7.4%. It's completely backwards, and that follows in a number of things. And just the way that we have this system set up, I don't think this is about punishing people because they've been able to succeed or because they're wealthy, but it is also we are supplementing the state of Illinois on the backs of middle and low income earners, and that is not fair. It is not fair that a working mom pays the same tax rate as a hedge fund billionaire. So we stand fully behind the fact that it is wrapped up in fairness, and that's what it has always been about. We have to stop punishing people simply because they don't make money in this state. And again, It's not about punishing people because they do make money, but we just have to even this out. We have to address for inflation and modernize our tax code to what a majority of states and the federal government do, and that is really important to us. And it was important to us to do that in the state of Illinois to bring people up to a living wage. I think that people get lost in kind of the nomenclature, but when you look at some of the numbers and some of the math about, you know, people making $7 an hour, $7.25 an hour, you can't live off of that in a modern economy with things adjusted for inflation. And then if you have kids and all the other things that go into it. And so Illinois has to stop, you know, just punting and kicking the can and delaying, because honestly, this is just digging the financial hole even deeper for us. And then the ultimate fix, whatever it may be, and we truly hope it is the fair tax, but the ultimate fix is gonna hit a lot worse than it needs to, because we are simply just delaying and refusing to just move forward and help people in this state, help ourselves.
All right, here's one, and I know you've heard this a lot since you and I spoke last. It's been a big deal on social media, I've noticed in particular. The prospect of retirement income being taxed as a result of this. This is something you've been dealing with on the marketing level as well.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we did have to address that. We're in the middle of a campaign, and, you know, we have the responsibility to educate voters about what the fair tax is, and we try to do that on the basis of the rates, on the basis of what this thing is about and how it will affect individual taxpayers. But we're in a campaign, and this is politics. And so the other side came out of the gate with some lies about the fact that this would tax retirement income. That is simply not true. The fair tax does not tax retirement income, and it does not make it any easier to do so. Currently in the state of Illinois, retirement tax is exempt from taxation, or retirement income is exempt from taxation, and the fair tax doesn't change that. It has absolutely nothing to do with retirement income at all. And the governor himself has said that he would never do it, and the legislature writ large opposes taxing retirement income. So I don't think that voters have to worry about that. And any time it's brought up in regards to the fair tax is simply not true. And also, you know, we've seen that the courts, a lawsuit was brought against this by the other side, and the court threw it out saying that there was no basis because the fair tax does not do this. And so it's simply a lie and a fear-mongering tactic from the other side to scare voters into voting against this.
I've gotten a number of questions, and this is the general gist here, that the graduated tax system penalizes successful people.
I don't think that that is true. And the reason why I don't think it's true is because, one, it's the way that a majority of states and the federal government do it. But also, when you adjust for inflation, this isn't, I mean, we could go, you know, tit for tat on a number of these things. But say, for instance, just if you're a business and you use the roads more than a regular voter, you're paying the same that regular voter pays to use the roads, even though you're putting more of a burden on it. Maybe the roads and bridges are crumbling faster because you're a successful person and have a business with, you know, lots of trucks and transportation infrastructure, and you're kind of degrading the infrastructure system in the state of Illinois, but you're not being asked to subsidize that alone. That money is coming out of the pockets of middle and lower income families in the state of Illinois, and the same thing is happening just from the math of it. That there are very few people, again, going back to the 250 number, there are 3% of people in the state of Illinois that make over $250,000. And that 3% also includes small businesses as well that make more than $250,000 a year in profit. And so that is not the case. In fact, what is happening is because the number of, you know, lower income people in the state is far greater than, you know, individuals who make over 250. Those are the set of individuals who are subsidizing everything. And then, unfortunately, when it comes to, you know, the other side saying, well, we have a spending problem, not a revenue problem, yeah, that's simply not true as well. And when you look at the things that can be cut, it is often the things that lower and middle income families in Illinois rely on the most, yet they're also paying the most in taxes. Again, they're paying roughly 14.4% of their income in fees and taxes in the state, while the top 1% is paying half that. Right. And we need to level that out, even it out, or increase a little bit, because it's just simply not fair. So I don't see it that way at all. And in fact, middle and lower income families in the state of Illinois have been subsidizing wealthy individuals.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially when you talk about tax cut. And when things get cut, it's usually the things that affect poor folk, right? And here's an interesting, because it kind of is a connotation we were talking about altering the Constitution itself. Where one of our questions comes in and says, I don't necessarily have a problem with the graduated income tax, but I worry that if it becomes easy to alter the state's constitution, what they're saying is not necessarily about taxes, but that this will make it easier going forward to alter other components of the Constitution? I don't know, but I do think it's an interesting question.
Well, I will say this, and I, again, always when I come on your show, I'm always trying to be honest with you, and I'm always trying to be honest with the voters. There's nothing easy about what we're doing here. And in fact, it is extremely expensive. I'm sure all of your readers have seen the numbers and the math. I think, unfortunately, because of the rules, it is extremely hard to change the Constitution in the state of Illinois. You need either 60% of those voting on the question, or you need a majority of those turning out to vote in the election. And, you know, when this is all said and done, we're going to see somewhere above $100 million spent on this initiative, both for and against, to try to, you know, persuade voters one way or another. And, you know, a big portion of that money, you know, comes from our opposition. My organization has had the resources to communicate with voters, but so have the opposition. And that money has come from very wealthy individuals in the state. And I would encourage voters to ask themselves why they are opposing it. I mean, the opposition has gotten over $60 million or just about $60 million for this. And that has come because there are a very select group of individuals who really care about this. And so they forked up the money to try to communicate, to get to the other side, to try to communicate to stop it. But there is something in it for them. And what is in it for them is that they continue to pay the same tax rate as, you know, the poorest people in our state, even though some of them are egregiously wealthy, $15 billion, $5 billion, $10 billion. So, you know, that is what the bottom line is. So I don't mean to be brash in my answer, but I just think that, you know, depending on what the issue is, there's always going to be individuals that care about it. And unfortunately, we're talking about taxes and making wealthier individuals pay a little bit more in taxes, and so they're fighting it.
Yeah.
But I employ average Illinois voters to look at the A1s, look at the individuals who are funding both sides of this message, and truly ask yourself why. You don't see very many individuals who make less than $250,000 given to the other side. Now, and I just want voters to ask themselves why. So, one, it's not easy to change the Constitution. It takes a lot of resources, and those resources only come when people pony up to do it. And when they pony up to do it, you should ask yourself why they care on either side of the aisle.
All right, somebody comes from outer space. They've been on the International Space Station, and the radio's been broke, right? You're in the elevator with them, right? You've got the elevator speech, and you've only got three floors, and you need their vote to make the win, okay? Just this one person, what's your elevator speech to that one person to pull them across the line and vote yes for fairness by next Tuesday? How would you do it? What would you say?
The fact is that Illinois is in a fiscal bind, and our current tax system is fundamentally unfair. It's a flat tax system that encourages, or that makes everyone pay the same flat tax rate of 4.95%. It forces our essential workers like nurses and grocery store clerks to pay the same tax rate as millionaires, billionaires, and hedge funds managers. The fair tax can set things right for working family and bring in additional resources, at least over $3 billion a year annually for us to put into things like funding our schools, which can lead to lower property taxes, also paying down the structural deficit in the state of Illinois. And we can do it by only asking individuals who make more than $250,000 to pay a little bit more. And while at the same time, we can give 97% of Illinoisans a tax cut. And so it is just simply not fair. The tax system in Illinois is outdated. It does not match what the federal government and a majority of other states do. And we have to do something in Illinois to lift the burden off the backs of our poor citizens in the state while only asking those individuals to pay a little bit more. This has nothing to do with retirement income, and it also does not give the legislature any additional power than they have now. And so, you know, if people care about the fiscal future of the state of Illinois, then they should support the fair tax.
I swear you've been in the elevator before.
Sometimes, very often.
That was a pretty precise elevator speech, probably the most precise I've ever heard when I've asked. Quentin, as always, I do appreciate your time. I know you're busy. Quentin Folks has joined us this morning. He's the chairman for Vote Yes for Fairness. As always, Quentin, good to speak to you again.
You too, Tom. Thank you for having me on. I always appreciate the conversation.